If they give not a distinction in sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain voice, who shall prepare himself for war? So also ye, unless ye utter by the tongue speech easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For he will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and no kind is without signification. If then I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be to him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh will be a barbarian unto me. So also ye, since ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may abound unto the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, if thou bless with the spirit, how shall he that filleth the place of the unlearned say thee amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he knoweth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Howbeit, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that I might instruct others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, be not children in mind, yet in malice be ye babes, but in mind be men. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers will I speak unto this people, and not even thus will they hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelieving. But prophesying is for a sign, not to the unbelieving, but to them that believe. If therefore the whole church be assembled together, and all speak with tongues, and there come in men unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one unbelieving or unlearned, he is reproved by all. He is judged by all. The secrets of his heart are made manifest, and so he will fall down on his face and worship God, declaring that God is among you. Indeed. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three, and that in turn, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophet speak by two or three, and let the others discern. But if a revelation be made to another sitting by, let the first keep silence. For ye all can prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be exhorted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, verse 39, wherefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and in order. The explanation of the gift of tongues is in this chapter alone. The enumeration of the gift of tongues is in chapter 12. It's mentioned in chapter 13, showing that this gift of tongues can be possessed without at the same time having this quality called love. But chapter 14 is all the explanation in detail that we have of this gift that is known as tongues. Now, taking it for granted that had I told you something last week, you would have forgotten it. Having told you something about chapter 12 a year ago, I'll know for certain that you have forgotten it. But in case you haven't, then let me review, for some of you, And if you weren't here, let me tell you again and only briefly point out that from all that we know in the Bible, from every clear example of speaking in tongues, tongues is a language that can be understood, that brings intelligence and information to a man who knows that language. Now, if you spoke Russian, it would mean nothing to me. But if a Russian were here, it would mean something to him. If you spoke Chinese, it would mean nothing to me. But if a Chinaman were here, it would mean something to him. Now, in like manner, the tongues that are spoken in Acts chapter 2, we can't go back to that. We looked last year, as I recall, in chapters 2, 10, and 19. And here in that book, we have three instances of people speaking in tongues. And when we pinpoint it, the speaking in tongues was the uttering of words, language, unfamiliar to the man that had that ability, but what he spoke was known to those people that had come to Jerusalem for celebration. And for that reason, and please keep this in mind, for the simple reason that when you have a plain scripture, and then you have the same subject mentioned elsewhere, and it is obscure, you interpret the obscure in the light of the plain. You interpret the unknown in the light of the known. And inasmuch as in Acts chapter 2, they speak in tongues, and the people who hear them speak in tongues say they are speaking in our language, it is a definite language, I know from that clear passage that tongues are languages. And for that reason, when I come to chapter 14, unless there is some reason and you have some special revelation from God, I'm going to take it that they are languages that are spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14. It's not always essential that one thing mean exactly the same in another chapter, but in the absence of any other evidence, unless you have some, I know that they were languages when they were mentioned in Acts chapter 2, and there is no valid reason why they should not be languages here. And it's the only thing I know about them, and I know as much as any man, for the simple reason that I've read what God's Word has said about it. And so if someone comes and gives you superabundant knowledge, and you ask him, what is the source of this information? And he says, oh, I've read a history about these manifestations later on in the history of the church. Disregard that. If he gives you other scriptures, fine. However, I've looked up every occurrence of the word tongue and tongues in the New Testament, and this one reference from Isaiah chapter 28 in the Old, and there is no other information. This is the only thing that we can count on. Now, the only distinction is this. Please keep in mind that those who in Acts 2, 10, and 19 spoke in tongues, it may have been speaking in tongues, but not the gift of tongues. You say, what is the difference? The difference is that the gift of tongues means that when I come to you each Lord's Day, each prayer meeting, if I have a gift such as the gift of prophecy or the gift of teaching, I am able to exercise that gift. However, if in the case of tongues, I speak with tongues when I am saved or when I am filled with the Spirit of God, it may be a once-for-all thing. And that is what we have in the book of Acts. And at the same time, the Apostle Paul, we are not told when Ananias laid hands upon him that he spoke in tongues. But we read here that he had the gift of tongues. And so please maintain that distinction, that the gift of tongues means that a man, on various occasions, like for years, I have been teaching you. I trust that I have the gift of teaching. Whereas, had I spoken with tongues in the book of Acts, it may have been something that happened one time, and that was all. Not the gift of tongues. You'll find it in the Old Testament. King Saul, on one or two occasions, prophesied. He was one who had an outburst, but he was not one of the prophets. The question was, is Saul also among the prophets? Why? Because it was extraordinary. It was not the thing, such as Isaiah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So keep that in mind. Now, another thing. You must understand about the nature and purpose tongues. There are those who think that inasmuch as the entire world is to be evangelized and it takes years to learn Russian or Chinese or some difficult language, the language of the Aka Indians, it takes so long to learn those languages, A gift of tongues means that I can go and speak in these languages and preach the gospel to these individuals and they will be saved. I challenge you anywhere to show me in all the references to the speaking in tongues that they were ever given that men might be spoken to, that the gospel might be preached in tongues, but instead God himself is addressed in tongues. You say, well, demonstrate that. I will. Look in chapter 14 now. Look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. And so that's strange, isn't it? You see, speaking in tongues is speaking unto God. And please keep your place here, but turn to Acts 2. I want you to see just what it says in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans, and how hear we every man in his own language wherein we were born? And it mentions all of these people. Look down at verse 11. Cretans and Arabians, we hear them speaking in our tongues the mighty work of God. But if you were here this Lord's Day, you heard me speaking of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. I spoke of his glory, of his beauty, of his sacrifice. I spoke of the glories of the Lord Jesus. But to whom did I speak them? Not to you. I spoke to God. But did you hear me? You say, yes, I did. But my speech was addressed to God. It was like, and tongues are like, unto the alabaster box of ointment that Mary broke and anointed the Lord with it. It was for the Lord, but John says the room was filled with the odor of the ointment. And so you will find that they were praising God, and the listeners heard them praising God. I ask you this. In Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas, when they were singing hymns to God and praying at midnight, were they singing and praying to the prisoners or to God? You say to God, but it says the prisoners were listening. And so when I pray and sing praises to God, it is heavenward, but man may be listening. And so this is what happens. But primarily, prayer and praise and adoration and tongues are heavenward. They are directed to God. Verse 2 should have settled the matter. Look at it again now in 1 Corinthians 14. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God, for no man understandeth. Now that would be pitiful if you go preaching the gospel in a tongue and the man to whom you're preaching it, he doesn't understand. And so tongues are Godward. And not only that, but tongues are not for preaching the gospel, telling men how to be saved, but they are for, now look over in verse 14. And just listening to the words, you'll see the nature of tongues. In chapter 2, it says, in verse 2, it says that he's speaking unto God, and now in 14, for if I pray in a tongue, to whom do you pray? You say to God. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Else if thou bless with the spirit. Now all of these illustrations, what is happening here? You say you are singing, and you are praising, and you are blessing. And so to whom am I speaking? You say God. And so you will look in the scripture, and you can never pinpoint it where tongues are ever used for anything other than speaking to God, Godward. But men hear these tongues, and if they happen to know the language, they are blessed. Just as if you stand to your feet and worship and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, you are speaking to God. But I can assure you that my soul is blessed, and I'm lifted up to heaven with you. And so in like manner, if a man speaks in a tongue, and he speaks in a tongue that you happen to understand, if you happen to be a foreigner, and you understand it, you're going to be blessed. But he can be saying the most exalted things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you do not understand it, you are not going to be edified at all. And so when tongues were given, they were given for the glory of God. when the gift of teaching was given, it was for the edification of the church. And when the gospel, the evangelist, the gift of preaching the gospel, it was for the unsaved. The gospel is primarily for the unsaved, teaching for the saved, the gift of tongues for God himself. And so, inasmuch as you can show no variations, why, since it always says this, do we think of something else? And I told a brother, I can't go into too many details about this, and he seemed to be amazed that I would conceive of such a thing as being tongues. He took it for granted that they were simply the impartation of supernatural, natural knowledge, that a man could go and preach the gospel without ever learning the language. I've never found that demonstrated in the Word of God. And I've given you 4 or 5 examples where it's to the contrary. And so, it's obvious what you should believe. And so, tongues are directed heavenward toward God, and they are for blessing and thanking and praising and speaking the wonderful works of God. For this reason, any blessing that you get from a tongue is indirect. Because if I am blessing God, you are listening to what I'm saying about God, and indirectly you get the blessing. But if I'm teaching, then you are getting the blessing directly, and I'm not speaking to God. I'm speaking about God. When I bless God, I'm speaking to God and about God. But when I'm teaching you, I'm teaching you about God. For this reason, that is why, if you have the gift of tongues, unlike the gift of prophecy, you must pray that you also receive the gift of interpretation. Because if I prophesy, that doesn't mean that I prophesy in a foreign language. It means I prophesy in the language that you understand. I'm prophesying right now. And therefore, I don't have to interpret. I simply prophesy in the language that you understand. But if I spoke in a tongue, I may be saying wonderful things to God, but unless I interpreted that foreign tongue, you would understand nothing. That is what it means down in verse 5. Look at verse 5 for a moment. Now I would have you all speak with tongues, but rather that you should prophesy. And greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, if you have the gift of tongues, and you are speaking the magnificent and wonderful works of God, and then you interpret, then the church is going to be edified. But if you simply speak these wonderful works of God in a foreign language, the church is going to benefit nothing from it. It is unfruitful. And for that reason, this is why, if you have the gift of tongues, and at the same time you have that quality called love in your life, then the exhortation in verse 1 will be fulfilled. Follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And if I love you, the gift that I receive from God will be a gift that is beneficial to you and not to me alone. That's why it's so important, if you have love, to understand that this love will say, Lord, give me a gift that will be a blessing to your dear people. Whereas if I'm selfish and I'm outgoing and I want everybody to look at me, I'll say, Lord, give me the gift of tongues. I don't care whether they understand or not. I want to be possessed of your spirit. I want to speak rapturous words and let them see me, O God, possessed of the spirit. The Apostle Paul said, by no means. He says in verse 19, in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I might instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. You see how Paul had the gift and the love, and the Corinthians had the gift without the love. And therefore they were standing up, displaying themselves, speaking tongues. And the Apostle Paul, this is the marvel, he spoke in tongues more than they all, but they were unaware of it, because he had a twofold gift. He had many gifts, but we're just mentioning 2 now. He says that in the church he would rather teach, instruct, than utter 10,000 words in a tongue. And so the Apostle Paul had both of these gifts, but when he came to Corinth, the gift that he exercised was prophesying, for the simple reason the people of God could be blessed and edified. And so you think of yourself now, if you say, you know, I would like to speak, I would like to have my turn. Why? I want to know why. If the reason is, I know that God has gifted me, and I want to feed God's people with the gift that I've been given, then that is a worthy motive. But if you say, I think it's only right, share and share alike, or I would like the people to know that I cannot do just as well as some of them that are speaking, then you might have the gift, but you don't have love. And there are some who have love, but they have not the gift. But if you have love, you can pray to God for the gift, and He can give it. And if you have the gift, but you don't have love, you can pray to God, and God can bring both together. And then you will have the gift and the desirable motivation, which is love. And rather than being sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, you will be a magnificent sound, a mellifluous sound, because you are speaking the truth in love. And so please notice that the Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. He says, howbeit, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. You see that some people spoke in tongues, Paul did, outside the church. And some people do not understand the distinction between praying alone in your closet. The Lord Jesus said, go to your closet and shut the door. That is one thing to pray. When I'm in my closet, I pray, my Father, I ask, will you do this? But when I'm among people, I am representative. And so I pray as the Lord said, when He said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And in my closet, I may pray an hour. But suppose, just as the brother finished praying, I stood up and prayed for an hour. Would that be in place? Not in the church. It would be all right in my closet. And so, in like manner, speaking in a tongue without interpretation when you're alone, if you have that gift, is quite in order. In fact, Paul said he did it. Look at verse 19. He said, in the church, he'd rather speak so and so. All right. Now, look at verse 28, showing you that there is the speaking of tongues without the gift of interpretation, but never in the church. Verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And so it may well be that some have the gift of tongues, but they have no ability to interpret. There may be some who think they have the gift of tongues. Well, if you think you do, but you do not have the gift of interpretation, then do not come and display what you think is the gift of tongues unless you can interpret. And so if you do have the gift of tongues and you cannot interpret, we are taking it just in accordance with what we are studying here now, you will find that if you have the gift without interpretation, you keep silent in the church. No interpretation, no uttering of a tongue in a church. All right, keep that in mind for a moment. Now, look at verse 3. I want you to see that the nature of prophecy in this verse is foretelling prophecy. There is foretelling prophecy, such as Daniel chapter 9, telling about the coming of the promised Messiah, and there is foretelling prophecy. Both of them, all prophecy is simply making known the mind of God. But foretelling prophecy is making known the mind of God for the future, but I trust that I'm making known the mind of God for the present. I'm prophesying. For the simple reason, in verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. And if I am prophesying according to verse 3, I am speaking unto you edification. I'm building you up in the Word of God. And I'm exhorting you. I'm stirring you up. And I'm consoling you. I'm binding up the brokenhearted. These are the three elements of prophecy. As love believeth all things and hopeth all things, so he that prophesies, he speaks unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. Now Agabus, in Acts chapter 11, was a foretelling prophet. He foretold about famine that was going to come. And then he also was the prophet who demonstrated by the binding that the Apostle Paul would be bound if he went to Jerusalem. He was a foretelling prophet. But you will find also, I won't take time to bring it to your attention now, you'll find that Silas was a prophet and he edified, he spoke to the people of God, and he strengthened them in the teaching of Scripture. And so tongues will not build the church up, but it will build the individual up. But here is something else that is so remarkable. that just as a man may have a gift but not have love, he also may have a gift such as tongues and not be able to comprehend what is taking place in his spirit when he exercises that gift. This is what those verses are all about when he says, I will pray in the Spirit, I will pray with my understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing with my understanding as well. And let me illustrate that from Philippians 4. It says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. There are times when the peace of God floods your soul, and if someone said, put it into words, express to me the peace of God that floods your soul, you would have to say, I'm unable to do it. I simply know that it's there, and it is of God. It is the peace of God that passes understanding. Now, in like manner, in this gift of tongues, there is the working of the Holy Spirit upon a man's inner spirit, and that working is distinct from rational understanding. Because he says, I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing with my understanding as well. And so there are parts of man that are incomprehensible, even to the man himself. It means that God can work upon my spirit, and yet I'm unable to express what God has done. Perhaps the new birth is that way. I've been born again. I cannot tell you to exactitude how the Spirit convicted me of sin and righteousness and judgment, but I know I've been convicted of sin, and I've been shown Jesus Christ as bearing my sins in his own body upon the tree, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this took place, but I can't explain it all to you. And so there are some things that happen to us that we're not able to explain. But as we grow and study God's word, as we go along, we learn more and more, and then we begin to understand a little bit about it. But even when we know everything that we can know according to this book, the Apostle Paul says, now we know in part. But in that coming day, then shall we know fully, even as we were fully known. All right, that much for these verses. Now, in verse 5, observe that the Apostle Paul said, I would have you all speak with tongues. We are not to be afraid of tongues. I told you last week from chapter 13 that I found nothing in that chapter that says, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. It says also that knowledge is going to be done away and prophecy is going to be done away. And I take it that knowledge and prophecy and tongues are all going to terminate at the same time, according to that chapter. What you will find is this, if I mistake not. You will find that in the New Testament, God fills every writer with the hope of the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul at times said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. God permitted him to live in the expectation of the return of Christ in his lifetime. But at the end of his life, then he understood that the time of his departure, putting it in the words of Peter, the time of Paul's departure, it also was at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What does it mean? I believe that in chapter 13, the apostle was looking for the coming of the Lord, and he did not know at that time. God did not show him. Do you remember in Acts chapter 1, the apostle said, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? They were expecting an immediate restoration of the kingdom to Israel. And now almost 2,000 years have transpired, and that kingdom hasn't been restored. The Lord said, it's not for you to know. And so the Lord gave them the hope of the coming of Christ in their lifetime. If you ask me, Am I believing that Christ can come in my lifetime? My hope is 1 Thessalonians 1. I've turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and I'm waiting for God's Son from heaven, and I hope he comes today. He may not come for 7 years, he may not come for 70 years, but my attitude is that he may come today. I'm waiting for God's Son from heaven. And I believe in like manner that the imminence of the coming of Christ was in the mind of Paul, and so when he speaks about knowledge, and also of prophecies and of speaking in tongues, he wasn't thinking of 1900 years transpiring. He didn't know that things would be waiting that long. It would be a special revelation. Think of the apostle. If he knew that the church would have to wait 1900 years before the Lord returned, what would it do to the church? And so, for that reason, he was expecting the coming of the Lord, and for that reason, when he says in verse 6, Now, or rather in verse 5, I would have you all speak with tongues, that would be fine. He would have them all to speak with tongues if they were scriptural tongues, and if they would do it in a decent and in orderly manner, and if they were in the church and they did not have the gift of interpretation, they would keep silent. That is why, if a man comes to me today and says, I have the gift of tongues, the first thing I do is to check out this professed gift according to chapter 14 and ask him if he exercises it, if he exercises it according to the verses I read you, 26 to the end of the chapter, do you exercise it that way? And I've never found anyone who did. And so if you say, can there be miracles and can there be the gift of tongues today? I would not deny. The Bible says the last thing, forbid not to speak the tongues. But I say that in all of my experience, I've never met anybody that I heard speak with a scriptural tongue. I've never seen anybody perform a scriptural miracle. But I'm not denying, because I am to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. But now there's some of my brethren that if a man says I'm speaking in a tongue, he says you're demon-possessed. I'm not going to say that. If you are performing that miracle, why, you're doing it by the power of Satan. I'm not going to say that, because I don't know when tongues are going to cease. I have never seen them myself. And I've heard about people speaking in tongues and having these rare gifts, but the ones that I've examined have seemed ever so shallow. They didn't have any mystery of God, great things of God that they could tell me. Why, they didn't even know the ABCs of the scripture, much less in the spirit they speak as mysteries. They didn't even know the revealed things of the word of God. And so, simply take that warning. Forbid not to speak in tongues, but you be sure if a person says it, that they have the scriptural tongue. And then if they have it, and if they have the power for the Spirit of God to work fully in their lives, and if they can cleanse the leper and raise the dead, introduce them to me. I would like to meet them and put them to the test. And if they do, I will say, brethren, here is an example. But until that time, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And now, the time for this evening's session is gone. We will continue in the will of God next week. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that there is no gift that thou dost give of which we are to be afraid. There is no doctrine that thy word teaches of which we are to be afraid. We know that there are some who think that if we teach that we have everlasting life and we shall not perish, that it is conducive to living in sin. We know that this is false. And there are some who believe that concerning of the speaking in tongues, why disorders can come, that something is wrong with this gift of tongues. But there is nothing wrong with the gift of tongues, or prophecy, or revelation, or healing, if it is of God, and if it's genuine. And so let us not be afraid of the true things from God, but only the imitation things from God. And let us not be deceived, Father, saying that we have gifts, and we have them not, pretending to be able to heal, but leaving this one simply in a wrought up emotional condition, feeling better for a while, but actually remaining the same. Let us have divine power from on high, scriptural power, and be satisfied with nothing less than that. And then let us sympathize with those who are deceived, thinking they have some spiritual power, but in reality it's just a personality, some strong hypnotic thing on their part that they have. Teach us, give us discrimination, we pray, and bless the words that we've studied tonight. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.